Welcome to the Apostolic Prophetic Bible Ministry by missionary Ewald Frank. Brother Frank, as the whole world knows him, received his commission to preach the Word of God on April the 2nd, 1962. Since that time, he has ministered in more than 130 countries, speaking to entire nations over radio and TV. His true apostolic teaching is appreciated by God's people around the world. And now, Brother Frank.
Dear friends, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Brother Frank speaking to you from the Mission Center in Krefeld, Germany. It is always a privilege for me to share God's holy word with you, and we're grateful to tell you that God is opening the hearts and also the doors to the ends of the earth, so the last message can be preached and therefore the ends of the earth can be reached, according to what our Lord said in Matthew 24, verse 14. We do have, by God's grace, the Apostolic Prophetic Bible Teaching Ministry. We don't have our own convictions, our own teachings, our own practice. We don't have what people call a confession of faith with certain articles that we do believe this and believe that. We believe simply the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. And we do believe that all things which come from God, they do come by divine revelation. You cannot study God. You cannot study His Word by your intellect. All must be given to you, must be given to us by direct divine revelation from God, as the Apostle Peter was told in Matthew 16, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Then in Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle states in verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. It's absolutely a mystery. God is a mystery. And the Apostle Paul many times uses the word mystery. I will show you a mystery. Actually, even our life, salvation, the new birth, everything is a mystery to us. But when it becomes a reality, it's life. It's a life that pulsates with us. Beloved friends, in this apostolic prophetic ministry, we must share at least three things with you. First part is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, so that people can be saved, experience the Lord as their personal Savior. The second part is the teaching part. And if you go to the four Gospels, you find Christ described from His birth to His ascension to heaven. Then you go to the next part of the Scriptures, to the book of Acts, when the New Testament church was brought into existence by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Then we see how people preached, how people received the Word of God, and we see the first teaching and preaching on the day of Pentecost. People were pierced in their hearts when they heard the sermon preached by Peter the Apostle under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And they were asking, brethren, What must we do? The answer was short, but very clear. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Three things in one, and that is what we have to teach right until Christ comes. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The blood was shed, but the Holy Spirit must come upon us so we understand our transgressions. We understand that we're lost, and then we come to the Lord and we're saved. Our sins are forgiven, and then we receive baptism by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, we must receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then we go to the next part, and that is the book of Revelation. In all the letters to the churches and individuals, the apostles were sharing the teachings of the New Testament church. And then finally, the book of Revelation was written. And that is what we have to take into consideration in our ministry. So it's apostolic, but it's also prophetic. If we go to Ephesians chapter 3, we have a very pleasant statement here. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4. But by which, when you read it, you understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And then he says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So, even in the New Testament, the Lord has apostles, he has prophets, he has teachers, and therefore we understand that the time has come when the true apostolic teachings and practice must be shared with all Bible-believing children of God around the earth. Then, of course, we understand that deviations have come about. Brethren were rising up, teaching different things, splitting local churches, drawing disciples after them. So the apostle warned in Galatians 3, verse 1, for instance, he makes the statement, Galatians chapter 3, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Now, beloved brothers and sisters, dear friends, if you are children of God, would you understand that somebody could have bewitched you? What does it mean? Some spell has been put upon you. And then it says in verse 2, this only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by works or by the law? And then, of course, he shares the thoughts of his heart, the word of God revealed to him. He had a responsibility for the church in the presence of Jesus Christ, being called directly to the ministry and placed with a special responsibility within the body of Christ. What we need today is God called men with a divine commission, a direct responsibility to share the original teachings of the Word of God with God's people. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the apostle speaks about the beguiling of Eve, and he was afraid that the New Testament church would also fall into the trap of the enemy, and so she did. If we look even to the book of Revelation, now we just read from Ephesians, but if you read the message to the first church age, It was addressed to the church in Ephesus. And it says here in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And then right in verse 2, it says, and thou hast tried them who say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them to be liars. Anybody can say, I'm a prophet. Anybody can say, I'm an apostle. Anybody can say, I'm a Bible teacher. But do they teach the Bible? Do they teach what the apostles taught? Do they practice what they practice? Beloved, the time has come to just be honest and return to the Word of God, and let God be true and every man be a liar. Now, we understand by the Scriptures that the return of Jesus Christ is imminent. We're not only in the end time, we're at the end of the end time. And I have to emphasize this all over the world, almost in every sermon. I have to share God's word and also the promises the Lord made to the church for the last part until the return actually would take place. Then we understand also from the Holy Scriptures that a time of restoration of all things would have to take place, just like the children of Israel return to the promised land, are being gathered from all the countries on earth, coming back since 1948, we have again a country called Israel. Then in Ezekiel chapter 47, 21 to 23, it speaks about the strangers that should dwell with the tribes of Israel. In Joel chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, we read, they parted my land. Israel is God's land, and the people are the people of Israel, and God is the God of Israel. We have to understand this. And this has nothing to do with a national spirit. That is God's decision. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then the 12 tribes, God chose Israel to make the history that would be in the spiritual already foreshadowing in the natural. So we understand by God's grace that we're now living in the time when all things take their place, shaping up right towards the end of the time of grace, beloved. And then we have the promise that the day of the Lord would come. It's very important for us to know this. Now we are in the time of grace, in the day of salvation. But when this time will come to an end, the day of the Lord will be. Just read Isaiah chapter 2, verse 12. Read Ezekiel chapter 30, verse 2. Read also Isaiah chapter 61, verse 2, where the Lord speaks about the day of vengeance, the day of wrath. Then you can read Joel chapter 1, verse 15. And you can also read Malachi 4, verse 1. The day will come that will burn like an oven. And then you must read Malachi 4, verse 5. Before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, the Lord says, I will send you Elijah the prophet. What was it? Before the day of salvation ends, and the day of judgment, the day of wrath will come. God promised to send a prophet like Elijah. I read it to you. Even in the New Testament, our Lord referred to the Old Testament promise and repeated the same in Matthew chapter 17, verse 11, in Mark chapter 9, verse 12. And then we understand how the ministry of John the Baptist was in the spirit and power of Elijah to forerun the first coming of Christ. And now we must understand that God has sent a prophet and a prophetic ministry to use the prophetic scripture and apply it the way it should be and show the place. All things are now coming to pass in the way the Lord said it would be. To me, it's a must to know the promised word for today. And then again, those who are acquainted with what God has done after World War II, especially since May 1946, when the angel of the Lord visited William Branham and gave him the Great Commission. Beloved, I must tell you these things. If I would not, God would hold me responsible, not having told you the truth. I must inform you that God is doing history. He's completing his promises. He does what he said in his word. Then again, we have those who make William Branham, the great man of God, a special subject in their teachings and preachings. They idolize a man. Beloved, if all glory does not go to God, there's something wrong somewhere. And I believe the only authority we have is the written word of God. Nothing can be changed. Nothing can be added. All things must remain as they were. And there are some who make of statements of Brother Branham their own teachings. And believe it or not, there are so many different directions within the message of the hour. And this hurts me very much, because as soon as I mention the name of God's servant and prophet, the ministers worldwide would say, "Just a moment, sir. We have groups here who refer to this man all the time." I'm not referring to this man all the time. I'm just telling you that there was a man sent from God with the word of God, with the message of the hour, which I'm taking to the ends of the world. And beloved, for those who are acquainted with the end time ministry, I like to show you something, because they refer so many times to Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. I just have to tell you the truth. We have to leave every word of God where it is written and how it is written. If you go, for instance, to Revelation chapter 1, we see the Lord as a Son of Man walking amidst the seven golden candlesticks. And then we go to chapter 2 in Revelation, and we go to chapter 3, and we find the seven messages to the seven churches, which had prophetic character, showing us what would be. And now we are in the last church age, and we do believe that the messenger came and the message was given to the church. But then we go on to Revelation chapter 4, and we see in verse 2 the one sitting upon the throne. In Revelation chapter 5, we see the one on the throne holding the book in his hand, and we see the Lamb coming to take the book, to loose the seals, and to reveal whatever is being hid in that book. And then, of course, we see the book being opened, and then the first seal, the second seal, the third seal, fourth seal, fifth seal, sixth seal, in Revelation chapter 6. And then we have an interval in chapter 7 showing us a sealing of the 144,000 of the 12 tribes of Israel. And then, of course, we do have the great number which comes out of the great tribulation. And then only we come to chapter 8, where it speaks about the opening of the seventh seal. And I don't know why, but everybody stops in Revelation chapter 8 with verse 1. Why don't you read on to know what the seal actually contains? How can you have philosophies about verse 1, not reading the actual text which goes with the seventh seal, to know what the seventh seal actually contains? And the seventh seal is the most clear, which needs no interpretation and actually no revelation to know what the seventh seal contains, because right from verse 2 to verse 6, we have the very text of what the seventh seal actually contains. And here I brought the Jewish New Testament with me today, and 11 times the word trumpet, which in the Jewish language, in the Hebrew, is shofar, is being used in Revelation chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, and then in Revelation chapter 8, verse 6, and again in verse 7, and again in verse 8, and again in verse 10, and again in verse 12, and again in verse 13. And then, of course, in chapter 9, verse 1, and in chapter 9, verse 13, and the same word shofar, which is used throughout the chapters before, is used in Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. Here, you can read the word shofar very clearly, announcing after the six had blown their shofar, the trumpet angels had blown their trumpets, in Hebrew, their shofars, announcing when the seventh angel will blow his trumpet, his shofar, then the kingdom of God would start. Here, you have the same word shofar in chapter 11, verse 15, when the seventh trumpet angel will blow his shofar, as announced in Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. Beloved, I will have nobody on earth to twist God's word for me. I forever have taken my stand, and you cannot separate the word from Brother Frank, and you cannot separate Brother Frank from the word of God. I do not interpret the scripture. I just take it the way it is. So when the scripture says, in the days when the seventh voice of the seventh angel, trumpet angel, when he will blow the shofar, sound the shofar, then the mystery of God will be finished. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. The Jews don't understand that mystery up to this day. But Paul was writing about the mystery of God in 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Beloved, when the time for the Jews come, then Christ, the mystery of God, will be revealed to them. Let's summarize what we say here today. This is the end time, and the end time message, with all of God's word revealed from Genesis to Revelation, all the mysteries contained therein, even in the seals, are now being preached worldwide, and all who are of God hear the word of God revealed at this time. So we understand the return of Christ is near, and we do have the true gospel, the true teachings, and the book of Revelation is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, and we therefore have the responsibility to share the full word of God, the true apostolic prophetic ministry with the ends of the earth. Beloved, believe as the scripture says, and be prepared, for the return of Christ is near. God bless you and be with you. We would be happy to hear from you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
If you were blessed by this message and would like to know more about what God is doing in our time, we would love to hear from you. Brother Frank has published some booklets and tracts about many important Bible subjects, which are translated into many different languages and are sent out free of charge. You are welcome to order your free copy from Mission Center, P.O. Box 100707 in 47707, Krefeld, Germany.